This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. As the laboratory explodes and flames destroy both the mad scientist and his misbegotten experiment into eternal life, a voice very much like Boris Karloff's intones, "There are things mankind is not meant to know." And that last scene from too many 1930s B-movies is the way a lot of people react when told that scientists are actually working on immortality. Sure, lifespans increased over the past 100 years or so, and maybe continued improvements in medicine, sanitation, and nutrition could give our grandchildren a decade or so more. But is anybody really serious about 500 years, 1,000 years? The answer is yes, at least a few, and Jonathan Weiner has been talking to them for a new book that asks profound questions about evolution and aging, about why some creatures are essentially immortal, whether we might figure out that trick, and even if we could live as long as Methuselah, whether we want to. Jonathan Weiner's new book is titled Long for This World, The Strange Science of Immortality, and he joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks very much for having me. Many of the gerontologists I talk to hate the word immortality because it suggests this kind of supernatural aura, the Boris Karloff effect, Frankenstein. And that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, who were thrown out of the Garden of Eden just for this reason. God was afraid that they would eat of the tree of life and make themselves immortal. So in the West, at least, this is a big fear we have. On the other hand, many mainstream gerontologists are talking about work that's essentially the same as the fringe people who like the word immortality. They eschew the word immortality, but they want to essentially conquer aging.
And how far should we go if given the option? And yet it seems like, and there are two kinds of hydras in your book. And one is a small multi-celled creature that seems to be, for all intents and purposes, immortal. The other is, of course, the creature of myth conquered by Hercules, though it eventually gets him in the end. But the creature who's every time you cut one head off, two appear in its place. And that seems, a lot of people would say, that Hydra, Hercules' Hydra, that's the one. You try to conquer aging, that's the kind of problem you got.
That's right. And I think that's inescapable. That is what we are up against. If we try to go out against aging, we're facing a multi-headed monster that has gotten us throughout time. So the main character of my book, the gerontologist I chose to follow, is at the edges of this enterprise trying to defeat aging. His name's Aubrey de Grey, Aubrey David Jasper Nicholas de Grey, and he's got a beard down to here. He looks like a youngish Methuselah, and he thinks that if we set our minds to it, we can lop off every one of the heads of the Hydra. And if another one grows, you know, if we learn how to beat cancer, atherosclerosis, Alzheimer's, diabetes, all of those monstrous heads of late onset disease, if another one crops up, we'll lop that one off too. If we could live in the state of health we had at, say, 12 years old, then we would have lifespans of 1,000 or more, even 1,000,000 years, he argues. And why not try, in his view?
We do have immortality in the sense that we pass our seeds on to the next generation and on to the next generation after that. Isn't that the human condition?
That is the human condition to date. But of course, the human condition until rather recently in history was that we couldn't fly. We wanted to fly. We couldn't get off the ground. Now we can do that.
And yet isn't a condition of life death?
We're always going to be up against the truck that comes whizzing down the street. And we're never going to be able to cure the problem of death unless you get into all kinds of very futuristic scenarios about downloading brains and minds and identity. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is approaching the lifestyle of the Hydra, which you mentioned just
before. The other Hydra.
The other Hydra. The other Hydra really is immortal in the sense that it's a little freshwater creature. It lives in ponds. It is maybe a millimeter to a centimeter long. It continually restores itself with its stem cells. And so it's immortal in the sense that it's no more likely to die at a week old or 2 weeks old or 2 years old than it was at 1 day old. It's aging negligibly. If the pond dries up, it's gone. But until then, it is functionally immortal. And so the question these biologists ask is, why can't we be like that?
Because it replaces its cells faster than they wear out. And we do, too. We do spectacularly well, as you point out, up until the age of 12 or so, and then things start going downhill.
And evolutionary biologists have an explanation for that, which makes a great deal of sense. It was important for us to build well, build sturdy bodies that will last until we reach the age of reproduction. So until maybe the age of 20, you're on an upswing. Once you've passed the age of reproduction in young parenthood, evolution by natural selection really ignores you. You're disposable in some sense because you've passed on your genes. And that's why we aren't built to last. In the Stone Age, most people never made it to the age of 20. Most babies had a life expectancy that precluded the first gray hair. They were just here and gone. So now we live longer. Now we value decades that our own evolutionary past very, very rarely saw. So now, maybe, it's on us to try to make the improvements that evolution by natural selection was powerless to give us, to build for centuries rather than build to last for an obsolescence of 20, 25 years, and then there go the knees.